largely due to the long, painful, and messy activation process for Bitcoin's last consensus protocol upgrade, SegWit, in 2017, Bitcoin developers have been discussing whether BIP9 is still the best way to activate soft forks. The best in Bitcoin made audible. I am Guy Swan, and this is Bitcoin Audible. What's up? Welcome back to Bitcoin Audible. I am Guy Swan, your host, the guy who has read more about Bitcoin than anybody else you know. And we are getting into a read today from Bitcoin Magazine. And this is about, we've seen some movement on the Taproot front, which is really exciting because there's been a general inability to settle on which BIP we would use to soft fork Taproot in. A mining pool, along with some other players, have already kind of jumped in and essentially made their preferred method public and begun showing support for it, which is a really big development. And I actually really like that this is happening naturally, in a sense, rather than simply waiting for, the core developers to just declare what it is and then, you know, everybody play ball. And luckily, Aaron Van Wertem has kind of broken down what's going on here in a recent piece on Bitcoin Magazine, a short one, but a good one. So we'll get into it in just a second. Let's go ahead and thank our sponsors for the show, Hexa Wallet. If you're looking for a great mobile wallet for Android and iOS that's non-custodial, has multiple accounts, custom fees, and my favorite, simple transaction batching, Hexa is it. You can find out more about it at guyswan.com/Hexa, H-E-X-A. But if it's time for you to start thinking about cold storage, well, that's where our other sponsor, Shift Crypto, comes in. They have the Bitbox O2. It is a secure, open source, Swiss-made, and beautifully minimal hardware wallet. Both the actual wallet design and then also the software interface. That's really kind of my favorite thing about it. And it's integrated into Spectre for all you Spectre fans out there, one of which I am quickly becoming. So check them out at guyswan.com/bitbox. And thank you to both of our sponsors for supporting Bitcoin Audible. All right, let's get into today's read. Again, by Aaron Van Wertem, who we've read countless pieces on the show, and I'll try to have my favorite selection of those in the show notes so you can check it out. In fact, probably a really good one to link to is his piece Breaking Down Taproot, for those of you who do not know. I'll give a brief overview after we get through this piece. But without further ado, let's go ahead and jump into our article. And it is titled, Poolin Launches Initiative to Activate Taproot, Encouraging Other Mining Pools to Join. Top 2 Bitcoin mining pool, Poolin, wants Taproot and hopes other pools do too. Update on November 17th, 2020, Bitmain's BTC.com, contributing about 12% of the network's hash power, and Slush Pool, about 3% of the network hash power, have also signaled their support on taprootactivation.com. I will have that link in the show notes as well, but that is taprootactivation.com. Poolin, the Chinese mining pool that currently controls around 13% of all hash power on the Bitcoin network, is preparing for Taproot. The proposed protocol upgrade, for which the code is included in the upcoming Bitcoin Core 0.21.0 release. Bitcoin's second largest mining pool, only topped by F2 Pool, which controls about 17% of hash power today, launched a webpage to help inform mining pools on Taproot, and lets them indicate how they would prefer the backwards-compatible upgrade to be activated. Quote, we're excited to see Taproot get close to deployment, and as one of the biggest mining pools on the Bitcoin network, we want to be constructive in the soft fork activation process that will help make Taproot a reality. Poolin VP Alejandro De La Torre told Bitcoin Magazine. Taproot. Taproot, as implemented in Bitcoin Core, is actually a combination of three upgrades rolled into one. First, it would introduce the Schnorr signature algorithm, which is considered by many cryptographers to be the best in the field. Besides a strong level of correctness, no malleability, and relatively fast verifiability, Schnorr signatures allow for math to be performed with them. Among other things, this allows for new types of smart contracts on Bitcoin. Smart contract flexibility would be further expanded through a trick called MAST, which allows for coins to be spent in various ways without ever needing to reveal the options that ultimately aren't chosen. Moreover, if all parties to a smart contract agree on the outcome of the contract, Taproot lets them cooperate to make the settlement transaction indistinguishable from regular transactions, benefiting user privacy. Third, Taproot will include an updated version of Bitcoin's programming language, called TapScript. Poulin, founded by former Bitmain and more specifically BTC.com employees, was the first Bitcoin mining pool to publicly indicate support for the Taproot upgrade by including a custom string of data in all of the blocks that they mine. Quote, "Taproot will unlock a new range of possibilities for Bitcoin, improving privacy and expanding smart contract possibilities," De La Torre said. "We think the Taproot upgrade will benefit Bitcoin, and therefore also benefit Bitcoin miners." Taproot Activation. The Taproot code will be included in the upcoming Bitcoin Core release, currently the de facto reference implementation for the Bitcoin protocol. However, this release will not include activation logic just yet. This is expected to be included in an upcoming Bitcoin Core release. As a backwards-compatible soft fork upgrade, Taproot activation is presumed to happen smoothly if a large majority of miners enforce the upgrade. Previous soft forks were activated through BIP9, which triggered enforcement of the new protocol rules when 95% of all hash power on the network signaled support for the upgrade. Largely due to the long, painful, and messy activation process for Bitcoin's last consensus protocol upgrade, SegWit, in 2017, Bitcoin developers have been discussing whether BIP9 is still the best way to activate soft forks. Some now prefer BIP8, which, if so configured, would not just enforce the new rules when a large majority of miners signal supports for the upgrade, but would also activate the upgrade at a specific future date or block height, known as a user-activated soft fork, UASF. Some smaller changes to the upgrade mechanism are also being discussed. Some argue that the hash power threshold should be lower than 95%, for example, and there's also debate on the preferred duration before the upgrade should be enforced automatically, if at all. Specific proposals also include a combination of these ideas, which could perhaps even involve a special Bitcoin Core software fork to get the job done, like the BIP-148 client, which, according to many, nudged miners to activate SegWit in 2017. Poulin CEO Kevin Pan told Bitcoin Magazine that his team prefers Taproot to be activated through BIP9, though not outright rejecting BIP8 with forced activation. Quote, "Unlike during the SegWit activation process, there is no heated debate around Taproot, and BIP9 has also been used successfully before SegWit," he said. "We therefore prefer the old-school way, BIP9. But the community could still have a user-activated soft fork. Pan does prefer the activation to happen through Bitcoin Core, and believes that the 95% threshold is fine. If BIP8 with forced activation is chosen instead, he thinks 1 year is a good amount of time before the new rules are enforced. But whichever solution is chosen, the Poulin CEO believes Bitcoin Core developers will make the right choice. Quote, "I think the devs are doing great." Taproot Activation Website. To encourage other mining pools, as well as independent miners, to help activate Taproot as well, Poulin today launched taprootactivation.com, a webpage dedicated to Taproot activation. Besides information for miners about the proposed Taproot upgrade, and the activation methods and parameters under consideration, the open source website also lets miners indicate their preference. "We want to avoid the issues we saw around SegWit activation. I don't think anyone wants to relive that," De La Torre explained. I think miners play a crucial role in soft fork activation, in this case for Taproot. A website like this could help inform a better process. We are a large mining pool with much hash power, so we've decided to take that initiative upon ourselves. Although Poolin has a preference for the BIP-9 activation process, the webpage is not intended to advocate this activation mechanism in particular. Nor would the preference that miners indicate on the website be in any way binding, of course. Developers choose which activation logic they implement in their code, and Bitcoin users decide if they want to run that code. Quote, "Still, we hope that an overview of miners' preferences could help inform the discussion around Taproot activation," said De La Torre. Bitcoin Magazine recently sent out an email to all mining pools that controlled at least 1% of the hash power on the Bitcoin network, inquiring about Taproot and activation preferences. At the time of publication of this article, the only other mining pool that responded was Slush Pool, whose co-founder Jan Kopec said will support Taproot and doesn't expect it to be as heated a topic as SegWit. Kopec indicated a preference for BIP-8 as the activation method with a 90% hash power activation threshold and forced activation after 1 year. Over the next days and weeks, De La Torre will also be reaching out to Bitcoin mining pools to poll where they stand on Taproot and the different activation mechanisms, and will update the website accordingly. And that closes out Poolin Launches Initiative to Activate Taproot by Aaron Van Wertem and BitcoinMagazine.com. Now, you guys really need to be checking up on Bitcoin Magazine because they literally keep up to date on everything. Like, they're a massive resource for me, and I legit just don't have the time to go into every single thing that they write. Just throwing it out there, if you want to stay up on a lot of this stuff, my two favorite sources are Bitcoin OpTech and Bitcoin Magazine. Bitcoin OpTech really dives into some of the specifics of this stuff, and Bitcoin Magazine is just probably one of the best news sources in the space, to be perfectly honest. So that's just a little shill for Bitcoin Magazine there. But this initiative by Poolin is actually... this is a big deal in my opinion, because this is really kind of this is a lot of what, you know, the developers have been really reluctant about just kind of coming out, because it is such a central point of failure, and they don't want to give the impression that, oh, we're just waiting for them to decide. Like, I've been reading in a lot of the discussions and stuff, like, I try to at least get in the groups and try to, you know, keep up to date and see how they're talking about it, and a lot of people are very reluctant. Or a lot of developers are very reluctant about being like, we're going to say it's this way and this is how it needs to be done. There's a lot of power and responsibility that comes with that. And more importantly, a very serious central vulnerability. If we basically make the precedence that the developers are just deciding how this thing goes and everyone needs to, you know, upgrade accordingly. I mean, obviously, they cannot force anybody to install the new software, but, you know, technically neither can Ethereum, but essentially they have a community that just does whatever the developers say, and they don't really put any input. And this most recent hard fork, which, by the way, there's actually another episode of Shitcoin Insider coming right around the corner where we dig all into this, it was just a complete mess. I really can't believe the dismissive attitude that the developers took around this problem. But it's just basically another great example of the completely polar opposite attitudes of the development community around Bitcoin versus that around Ethereum, and altcoins in general, really. Just picking on Ethereum because of their recent debacle. But it's really cool that Poolin in particular is taking the initiative and really moving ahead and pushing to get people to make a stance on this. The mining pools are pretty distributed right now. So together, since this article was released and they got responses back with Slush Pool, BTC.com and Poolin, they've got about, BTC.com is actually only about 11%. Poolin's about 12%, or at least kind of by current estimates, I guess it'd be the last 100 blocks or something that this is working from. Oh, no, last seven days. Of course, over the last day, which does obviously have a bit more variation, Poulin is about 11%, BTC.com is about 12%, and then, Slush Pool is like 2.26%, whereas on the 7 day, it's 2.46. So not a huge amount of variation, but it's literally somewhere around 28% that's essentially giving their support for Taproot, and then B, the mechanism that they want to see it activated with. And what's funny is that all three of them, Slush, Poulin, and BTC.com, actually have a different activation preference, essentially, that they have shown on taprootactivation.com. So it'll be really cool to see a standard kind of develop from this. But the other big ones to reach out to, and hopefully we hear from soon, which F2 pool is the largest, somewhere between 18 to 20% of the total hash rate. F2 pool has historically, I think if I remember correctly, they were one with Slush Pool that actually did SegWit pretty quickly. So they're usually up on this. And the fact that this is literally days old, it's like a day or two maybe at this point, is really great that we're already seeing responses this quickly. And hopefully within a couple of weeks, you get, you know, some sort of recognition from all the major pools, which would be F2 pool, Binance, Ant pool, Huobi, Via BTC, Canoe, which I don't even know about Canoe, Lubian, then you got Slush, BTC Top. But after that, it's the pools become small enough that we're already past the threshold. And this is kind of the really cool thing about the pools. Even though they're a centralization risk in the sense that they are directing a lot of hash power, with something like the Stratum V2, which is Stratum is the protocol they use to allow all the miners to work together in these pools. So just for anybody who doesn't really know what a pool is or just kind of has a vague idea, thousands of miners are logging into a single pool and then all hashing as if they're one big miner together. And the pool is essentially directing what everybody is hashing for. And that's done with, you know, its own little protocol, its own little software implementation. And that's called Stratum. And the new one, Stratum version 2, actually eliminates the issues where the pool itself gets to decide which client they run or like which client they are mining on, which transactions get included. Like individual miners can actually build their own blocks. So censorship and control by the pool is not an issue anymore, which is really, really important because pools are single points of failures. However, they are really handy in the fact that they essentially have a direct communication with a massive pool of miners. So they can essentially say, you know, this pool is going to be recognizing Taproot at this point, and you guys either need to upgrade or, you know, we're not going to accept your hashes. Like we're going to move forward. So it's still a way to put a little pressure to get people to pay attention to upgrades like this and changes with like soft fork changes and things without actually having explicit control over the miner or what the miner does. So it's kind of a double-edged sword in that sense. So if we go to taprootactivation.com, we can see who has responded and what their response is. So Poulin, Slush Pool, and BTC.com have all said yes to Taproot. And what's funny is that they have all committed to a different activation method. They're not committed, but they have all shown support for a different activation method. So simple version again, BIP9 is the let's wait and see if we get enough miners on board in some span of time, like 1 year. And if we don't, then we reassess afterward. BIP8 is the we don't wait proposal. It's the where it's going to be a year and it's simply going to activate. It's the flag day proposal. Now, yesterday, they actually had threshold preferences up here, but that has been removed. This has actually been changed since the last time I looked at it. Yesterday, Poulin was saying they wanted a 95% threshold, which is historically what has happened or what has been used. And then Slush Pool and BTC had actually lowered it to 90%, which I'm more okay with 90%, but I wouldn't really argue either way. I think 95% is obviously safer. The more miners you have on board, the less likely there's a problem, particularly if, you know, one miner has an issue with the upgrade or, you know, does something wrong. We're changing software here, so, you know, there's always a risk. The more the merrier, I guess you could say. But Poulin supports BIP9 followed by BIP8. So yesterday this was actually, they just said BIP9. So the regular 1 year, if we get the threshold, then we just make a decision, like nothing officially happens or immediately happens after that. Now they are saying, BIP9, for, you know, a year, and then followed by BIP8 if BIP9 fails. So that's the, let's see if the miners, activate, on their own. And if not, well, then one more year, and it's just a flag day. We're just going to get Taproot and we're going to implement it. And, everybody needs to get ready. Slush Pool is all in. Slush Pool is just BIP8 from the start. Let's not beat around the bush anymore. You know, this was the user activated soft fork mentality of SegWit, you know, back in 2017, when everything was super contentious and the miners were basically trying to hold it hostage, saying essentially they're okay with SegWit and they know SegWit is fine and safe, and they will implement it if everyone else agrees to a consensus break, which was the exact issue that was being debated. So they essentially positioned it like it was a compromise, but it was not. It was in a 100%, we get our way and you can suck it, or you're not even going to get the soft fork improvement that you wanted if you don't give us our hard fork, which the issue was whether or not we were going to soft fork or hard fork. And the UASF basically called their bluff. It's like, all right, well, you've just admitted that you know SegWit is safe and that you know it's totally fine to support it. You've just said that you're going to break consensus, so go right ahead. Break consensus, make your shitcoin, because we're going to activate SegWit, and you can either join us or leave, because we won't accept your consensus-breaking coin, which, you know, might as well be any altcoin. Might as well be Litecoin, Bitcoin Cash, anything. Doesn't really matter. Like, if you break consensus, you simply are not on the same network. So we basically called their bluff, and it worked. Now, obviously, Taproot is not contentious, so there's nobody's bluff to call here. Like, it's just the same sort of activation method that Slush Pool is supporting, is that let's avoid all of this problem. Let's avoid the need to, you know, or the potential of making this highly politicized, and just do a flag day and let the users and the community make this decision with the full nodes. And then there is BTC.com, which supports the modern soft fork activation, which is essentially a combination of it. So it's not a whole lot unlike Poulin's BIP9 for a year, BIP8 for a year, except that Poulin, the BIP8 for them is 1 year, and it's actually set to what they refer to as false, which means it's not a forced activation. The BIP8 could actually fail if the flag day comes and there's not enough support for it. Whereas the modern soft fork activation method is a combination that extends out a far longer span. So whereas the original would be 2 years, 1 year for BIP9, 1 year for BIP8. This is BIP8 on the first one. Okay, so there's a flag day that's able to fail. So if there's not a support at 1 year, enough support at 1 year, it simply is false. But then there is a quiet period of 6 months where basically decisions are made, and any changes or attempts at crossing any political divide or whatever are left or made available. And then if nothing, no new information or major problems arise in that 6-month period, then we have a BIP8 forced activation for 2 years. So the issue with this is that the modern software activation is one of the most conservative, I guess you could say, because it allows for the longest span of time. But obviously the drawback there is that it could take up to three and a half years almost for this to actually get implemented into the network, and will basically waste tons of time and resources on developing potentially unnecessary solutions to the problems that Taproot solves in the interim, like the two-party ECDSA instead of Taproot's MuSig, which is more efficient and easier to implement. So there's basically trade-offs with all of these things. And it clearly, I mean, hopefully a lot of this is coming across because it obviously can get complicated. And, you know, it's just a whole bunch of numbers and letters. But in a general sense, Poulin right now is saying we want to be careful and give a medium time span for this to happen. And we want broad support. Slushpool wants to be pretty aggressive about it and wants to really kind of push as quickly as we can. And BTC.com is being most conservative and has a very long time span, but wants it activated at the end of it regardless. Just wants a set date where if worse comes to pass or if the slowest outcome comes to pass, we at least know that we're getting it at the end of the run. So as you can see, there's kind of a wide variety of preferences on this, and it'll be interesting to see a standard try to develop here. But this is just a really cool initiative, and I'm really glad to see these people taking it upon themselves so that, you know, it's not just hashtag Taproot tweets that don't reach anything but a very small Bitcoin community on Twitter, basically. And if you want to really dive into what Taproot is, I mean, obviously there's a really quick summary of it, but we have a whole episode and another Bitcoin Magazine article by Aaron Van Wertem all about Taproot, what it does, what it is, its benefits, all sorts of stuff. And it's titled Taproot is Coming, What It Is and How It Will Benefit Bitcoin. It is read 318. I'll have the link to the Bitcoin Audible post so you can check it out. I got one or two other things to add, but real quick, I just want to thank our sponsors again for today's show before we close this out. BitBox is a wonderful hardware wallet. And, you know, honest to God, one of the coolest things that I like about this is I really just kind of like that it's like a sleek black color and just doesn't have anything on it. I don't know. I'm just a fan of minimalism. And it seems to fit hardware wallets, you know? So don't forget to check out the BitBox O2 by going to guyswan.com/BitBox. And of course, if you're looking for a really great mobile wallet, Hexel Wallet is where it's at. Non-custodial, you're not giving away any information, seedless backups, contacts, custom fees, batching, you name it. This thing just has tons of features and a lot more on the way. So check them out at guyswan.com/Hexa, H-E-X-A. Or of course, if you just want to go straight to it, Apple App Store or Google Play, you'll find it right there. All right, so let's close this one out. Now, if for anybody who wanted to really dig into that stuff about Ethereum, like I said, we've got a Shitcoin Insider episode coming very, very soon. So that is definitely something to keep an ear out for. We're going to post, I hope to post today, but maybe tomorrow. If you are not subscribed to Shitcoin Insider, you are missing out. You got to go over there and do that. We have a ton of fun with that show. And of course, share this one and Shitcoin Insider out with all your friends and family members that are finding their way into Bitcoin space. We do not want them getting stuck in the Shitcoin casino. And hopefully this podcast and that other podcast will help to inform people and make them see what the real value of this technology is, what the real value of this money is, and what it means, both historically and for the world today. And I truly believe it's the most important thing that we can be learning right now, and the absolute best tool we can use to defend ourselves against the uncertainties that we see in the world. And with Taproot activation, hopefully in the near future. Oh, with actually one more thing about Taproot activation, which I have not actually seen anywhere in the taprootactivation.com or the wiki even, but I'm pretty sure this is still the case because it's been the case for all previous soft forks, is that once the threshold is reached, then there's a 2-week period before activation. So if we do something like a BIP9 activation, it's not that we're definitely going to wait a full year. It's that we have a year to see if we can hit the threshold. But if we hit the threshold in like a month or two, well, then it will lock in and activate just a couple of weeks later. So that's the hope of this. If we can actually get mining pools on board, if we can, you know, get the word out there and be proactive about it, you know, try not to berate people and, you know, bug them constantly, but, you know, make a tweet about it, tag somebody, hopefully we can get this moving quickly and we could actually get activation in a relatively short span. And that would be really, really cool to see the unbelievable development and benefits that could come from being able to shift right over to working with Taproot, working with Musig, working with Mast, with this TapScript implementation that can do so much more, and, you know, start getting working on the next soft fork. Build the things, the incredible tools and the signature aggregation and all the things that are made possible by getting Schnorr signatures and Taproot into the protocol. So with that, thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to run your node, stack sats, make sure you're holding your own keys, and double check all of your backups while things are getting crazy. And I will catch you on the next episode of Bitcoin Audible. I am Guy Swan, and until next time, take it easy, guys. This has been a 111 production, and you were listening to Bitcoin Audible on the Crypto Economy Network.